You think you can start?
Yes, Chair, we can
Recording
start.
In progress.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Darren. Good morning, honourable members, support staff of the committee, members of the public who are on the platform, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are getting presentation and comments from South African Local Government Association. SALGA on the Division of Revenue Bill. Welcome as SALGA indicate who's leading the delegation when I ask you. But for now, Darren, do you have any apologies?
Yes, Chairperson, we received two apologies for today's meeting. They are from Ms. Ntlangwini and from Ms. Dikgale.
Okay, let's note those apologies. Honourable members from SALGA, can we indicate who's leading the delegation? And then after that, you'll start with your presentation, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. my name is Lesetja Dikgale. I am the recently elected member of the National Executive Committee of SALGA. I will be leading the delegation to engage with your honorable selves. Can I proceed to the next point?
Yeah. You are very much welcome, sir, and your delegation. We have got an honorable member who's Dikgale. Unfortunately, she has just tendered her apology and she decided to send you. So you'll be also representing her, I suppose.
Yeah, that's correct. She's my sister-in-law. She's married to my brother, who is the chief in Radikale in Limpopo, and she's also my cousin because she comes from my aunt's side. So yeah, it's terrible that she's not here today.
Okay. No, you're very much welcome, Mr. Dikgale.
It's good that she's not here today. Really now.
Aume, Honorable Shwenyana, let's allow Mr. Dikgale to continue. This is royalty, Honorable Shwenyana, so they you don't disturb them.
Yeah, no. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Telezi, for your warm welcome. As the newly elected NEC, and on behalf of all members of the NEC who are not here, we want to firstly thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Buthelezi. We want also to greet the standing committee members and say good morning to all of you, honorable members. The recently elected SALGA NEC, one wants to take this opportunity to thank the committee for inviting and interacting and engaging with us as SALGA on this critical matter, on how best can we appropriate our nationally collected revenue. We further want to thank
recording in progress.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Councillor Dekgale. I would like to extend my warm greetings to the members of the committee. And without further ado, I trust my screen is visible to all participants.
Yes, it is.
Yes, thank you. The SALGA's comments on the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill is contained in this presentation, which outline it has reflected on the screen. I would then go and touch on each of the elements of SALGA's commentary on the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill. The purpose of the presentation is to provide the Standing Committee on Appropriations with organized local governments comments on the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill. And as part of the background relating to constitutional and legislative matters, the Constitution of the Republic in section 2142 requires that Parliament, prior to enacting the Division of Revenue Bill, organized local government, amongst other stakeholders, be consulted. In this instance, this consultation seeks to ensure that they need things that it needs to take into account. They need to ensure that municipalities are able to provide basic services and perform the functions allocated through to them. That's point D that I'm emphasizing, the bolded areas, as well as that the fiscal capacity and efficiency of municipalities must be taken into account with the developmental and other needs of local government and municipalities also be considered. And lastly, in the point of emphasis, it's also on the obligations of municipalities in terms of national legislation. In respect of legislative background, the Intergovernmental Fiscal Relations Act, it describes the budget forum, which is a body that is constituted by the three spheres of government, with SALGA being a representative body for the local sphere of government, wherein we participate, and it's outlined its role in the Act as dealing with the fiscal and budgetary or financial matters affecting the local sphere, to also deliberate on any proposed legislation or policy which has financial implication on the local sphere of government. And any matter concerning financial management, monitoring finances of local government, and any other matter which the Minister of Finance may refer to the forum. So the brief background of this is also that SALGA participates in the budget forum process that culminates in the budget that had been presented by the minister on the 23rd of February.
Mr. Nkotum?
Yes, sir.
Just a second. Can we just make sure that our videos are on? That's a request from our IT people. The people of South Africa want to see who's talking.
Yes, it is on.
It is on. Okay. All the other speakers, then please let them do that. Thank you so much. Sorry for interrupting you. Continue.
No, thank you. Then in compliance with the constitutional and legislative provisions, I would start off that firstly, last year, 27 August 2021, organized local government consulted with the FFC on the 2022-23 Division of Revenue Bill. And most recently, there was a technical budget forum on 28 January, consulting on the 2022 Division of Revenue. This was followed by the budget forum that was held on 7th February. And then, as indicated, the minister delivered the budget on the 23rd of February. And today, we are appearing before the Standing Committee on Appropriations. And then what would that follow suit? I think it's us interfacing with the NCOP. In our formulating our comments and analysis, we also had a look at the macroeconomic outlook. In the domestic outlook, as a component of the macroeconomic outlook, we noted that the projected GDP for the 2021 is 4.8%, with 2022 at 2.1%, and that the real GDP growth is expected to moderate to 1.7% in 2024. The projected CPI for the same period is projected at 4.5%. That would increase in 2022 to 4.8%, and it then would continue to stabilize.
Is there? My apologies again. Can we make sure that our mics are muted? There is only Mr. Nkotu who's talking, so all other mics should be muted, please. So that we don't disturb him. Mr. Nkotu, sorry for that. Let's continue.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, with the headline inflation projected at 4.8% 2022 and thereby stabilizing at about 4.5% in the 2024. Key points emanating from the economic outlook, it's the significant risks that have been considered and attached to the budget as presented. These were summarized and are split into two. Firstly, the global growth, which could slow more rapidly if supply chain bottlenecks persist. And as the committee would know, there has been various other developments in the international sphere that would threaten particularly the escalation in terms of rising inflation expectations with the limitations on the supply, particularly of energy, that has a ripple effect overall in terms of pricing of goods and services that we consume. Domestically, supply constraints linked to raw material shortages, disruptions in global supply chains, and elevated production costs could lead to higher consumer inflation. These are the risk factors that considered in the budget and have been highlighted. Also, not forgetting the unreliable electricity supply, which remains a serious constraint on domestic growth. In conclusion, in the macroeconomic outlook, a further deterioration in public finances due to spending pressures and the materialization of contingent liabilities could trigger additional credit rating downgrades, increasing borrowing costs and crowding out both the private and public investments. And then the next aspect that we look at prior us to our analysis and formulating our comments is the fiscal policy outlook. What we have then compared is the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill versus the 2021 MTPPS, which was presented last year. The 2022 budget is the orange line. We note that the fiscal deficit as a percentage of GDP narrows to 5.7% versus the 7.8%, which was a projection at the MTPPS stage. All of this improvement has been facilitated by a higher commodity pricing, which has resulted in a windfall in terms of revenue collections, thereby necessitating that the additional revenues, amongst others, be utilized to narrow the budget deficit. It is projected that the budget deficit will narrow from the 5.7% of GDP in 2021 to 4.2% of GDP in 2024-25. The gross loan debt as well is expected to increase from 4.35 trillion or 69.5% of GDP in 2021-22 to the 5.43 trillion or 75.1% of GDP by 2024-21. And it is expected to stabilize at 75.1%, also indicating a downward improvement trajectory, which is an improvement when one compares it through to the 2021 MTPPS. Here we reflect on the consolidated government fiscal framework, where we also note that the revenue for the 2022-23 is projected at 1.7 trillion, and that escalates up to 1.8 trillion, up to 1.9 in 2024-25. That said, and then the key points from the 2022 budget, which would like us to highlight, is that the budget deficit decreased by 135.7 billion relative to the projections that we had at the 2021 budget estimate. This is mainly due to strong revenue performance. I highlighted earlier that the higher commodity pricing from our mining sector has actually contributed significantly of this, although the persistence won't be sustained in the long term, but the upward trajectory would still be maintained. Tax receipts for 2021-22 have exceeded initial expectations and are now projected to reach 1.55 trillion compared to the estimated 1.37 at the time of the 2021 budget. Some of this improvement in revenue collection is expected to continue over the MTF period. Another thorny issue that we cannot ignore is the official unemployment rate, which has breached the ceiling of 34.9% in yet again in the third quarter of 2021. And that has also been exacerbated by the COVID-19 lockdowns, as well as the outbreak of the July 2021 unrest. But overall, the fiscal policy still stays the plotted route of fiscal consolidation with government commitments to returning to the public finances to a sustainable position, meaning that it will achieve a primary surplus 1 year earlier than earlier projected in the 2021 MTPPS. The primary surplus indicates that the revenue would be higher than non-interest spending in 2023-24. This is suppose all other variables remain constant, Chairperson. And then after having looked at the fiscal policy as well as the macroeconomic outlook, we did our analysis. And the committee would be familiar with the slides because it's something that we always present, particularly when SALGA raises at the various IGR fora our concern about the allocation of nationally raised revenue to the local sphere of government. You'll note that on the right-hand side, what is reflected is the vertical allocation indicating the share of the local sphere at the 2021 MTPPS, which was sitting at 8.5%. And there has been a marked improvement indicating a 9.1% allocation for the 2022-23 financial year. When you consider then the share of the local sphere over the MTF period, that is then if you were to sum the financial years 2022-23 up to the 2024-25, you then obtain an average allocation of 48.8% for national government, 41.4% to provinces, and 9.8% to local government, which is what SALGA has been advocating and lobbying for. And we're starting seeing the realization of an upward movement in the share of local government in nationally raised revenue. This slide actually compares from the 2021 MTPPS versus the 2022 budget, wherein as it stood at the MTPPS, the local share was projected at 9.3%. However, there's been a slight downward movement at 9.1%, but overall, compared to the 8.5% that the local sphere had, this still reflects an upward movement. And for the two outer years of the MTF cycle, there is a projected upward adjustment in the overall share, wherein it is anticipated that for the 2023-24, the local sphere of government will get 10%, and then the other year, the outer year, 10.2%. We've even gone further now in focusing on the 2022-23 in terms of our analysis, observed that overall, the local sphere of government would then obtain a share from nationally raised revenue of 150.6 billion. If you were to compare the two figures, If you look at 2021-22, there's been a marked improvement of 11.3% from increasing from the 135.3 billion. Over the MTF, what has been summed, what is the set aside for the local share is 481.2 billion. The various other components also show an upward trajectory with the equitable share allocation increasing by 15.3% to 87.3, conditional grants increasing by 6.7% to 48 billion. The general fuel levy share with metros is merely reflects an inflationary adjustment up to 15.3 billion. The annual growth rate compared to the other spheres of government, the orange line reflects the annual growth percentage for the local sphere, which is at 11.3, and then it tapers a bit to 6.6 and 6%. You'll note that the growth rate for the provinces as well as national is much lower than for local government, with over the years, particularly about the adequacy of what the local sphere of government has been allocated from the national nationally raised revenue. In the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill, there are changes to direct grants through to local government. The major ones involve the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant, where it is allocated 800 million in 2022-23 for the city-led employment program forming part of the Presidential Employment Initiative, as well as the Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant, wherein it is allocated 26 million in 2022-23, 121 million in 2023-24 to reconstruct and rehabilitate municipal infrastructure that had been damaged by floods and storms in KwaZulu-Natal in 2019-20. The Public Transport Network Grant allocations are reduced by 754 million in 2022-23. This is at the request of our municipalities, particularly in line with the implementation plan of phase two of the My City project for the city of Cape Town, as well as an adjustment from MIC for Mpulukwane local municipality to the Integrated Urban Development Grant of 10 million in order to fund a sports project in Pulukwane municipality. And then Sargal comments on the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill. What we've observed, particularly in the policy space, particularly on government's steadfast commitment to retaining public finances to a sustainable position, indicating that it would then achieve this primary surplus a year earlier than anticipated. Salga notes the fiscal consolidation cost that was plotted to narrow the budget deficit, and we note that it's promising to bear results, notwithstanding the risk factors that had been cited previously. Members would note that Salga previously supported the fiscal consolidation as being critical to reduce the public debt burden, as well as restore investor confidence and avoid overexposure to global and domestic risks. Salga continues to support the initiative. In relation to the local government fiscal framework, you note that in this 2022 Division of Revenue Bill, local government allocations are increasing by a total of 30.7 billion, where 28.9 billion is earmarked for the local government equitable share and the 1.8 billion in direct conditional grants. Salga welcomes the adjustments to the local government fiscal framework because it accords with what the organization has been lobbying and advocating for at the budget forum, where I indicated earlier where we participate, Parliament and various other IGR fora. Furthermore, we note that the increase in the allocation to local government over the MTF cycle will gradually bring to reality the promise contained in the white paper on local government of an equitable share of nationally raised revenue. On the municipal capacity building component, the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill indicates the number of municipalities in financial distress in terms of the 13 indicators that are used by Treasury to measure this has actually grown from the 86 municipalities in 2013-14 to 175 in 2019-20. And it is also worryingly indicated 123 municipalities have passed unfunded budgets. Furthermore, in regard to the review that was undertaken by National Treasury, it in terms of the municipal capacity building initiatives, noted certain of deficiencies amongst senior municipal executives and technical managers that are responsible for advising political office bearers as a major contributor to the poor performance. And the findings of this review indicates that radical changes to the current capacity building system needs to be realized. And amongst others, it would require that the efforts of the various supporting institutions across government be coordinated. And it highlights four guiding principles, which are the need for a clear focus on developing capabilities, a problem-led approach, as well as the inclusion of municipalities in designing and implementing the system, as well as an integrated approach rather than separate capacity building responsibilities across different supporting institutions. In our comments in regards to this aspect is that SALGA, in addition, particularly amongst other training initiatives and tools that have been developed, there is a good practice guide on municipal financial management, which has been developed by SALGA with a view to improve the capacity of municipal officials and political leadership. I think the members of the committee would be aware that post the local government elections in November last year, I think since 29 November to date, SALGA has been rolling out the generic integrated councillor induction program, whereby we train municipality councillors and induct them into the local sphere of government. That also incorporates this good practice guide on municipal financial management, because it goes into details on each element as to if in the municipal budget, what must a councillor look for, what questions need to be asked, the SDPIP, the IDP process, et cetera, such then that all what had been promised to communities is gradually realized, also observing the prescripts that prevail in the sector. Furthermore, currently SALGA is rolling out a municipal finance integrated councillor induction program and workshops that are targeting municipal officials, still focusing on this good practice guide on municipal finance. Another change is that SALGA is now focusing on targeted and custom designed capacity building initiatives, which would be coupled with accredited programs and assessment-based training, thereby negating, you know, these attendance workshops or training whereby one just simply attends, whether they've grasped anything there, there's no assessment at the end of the day. So part of the shift is more to focus on accredited programs that are assessment-based as part of building the capacity. So all of this addresses the aspects that are raised on the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill. Furthermore, SALGA is also in agreement with the coordination of initiatives targeted at municipalities, particularly where the 2022 Division of Revenue requires that an integrated approach be adopted. In fact, both for the generic ICIP that SALGA implemented, and as well as the municipal finance ICIP, all of these are offered in collaboration with external stakeholders. For instance, even the municipal finance ICIP, this is offered in collaboration with national and provincial treasuries, the Department of Cooperative Governance, and at provincial level, the COGSTA is also involved, the South African Revenue Services, and the LGCETA. And in the implementation and overseeing the project rollout, we hold regular ICIP steering committee sessions, which are convened as part of the project management with all the stakeholders, thereby indicating that this radical change to the current capacity building system is being implemented as we speak. The development and accredited, further, we've also developed an accredited project preparation financing training. The course seeks to build initiatives, seeks to build capacity for major capital projects, and what it has been done, it has included in the current financial year 20 piloted municipalities to ensure that the learning outcomes address the deficiencies agreed with municipalities. Therefore, also indicating it's not a top-down approach, but bottom-up approach in that municipalities themselves are consulted when we come through to these courses and the design thereof. In terms of the municipal revenue, the 2022 Division of Revenue also makes reference to the enforcement of credit control measures where revenue is not paid. I would just want to highlight that in the recently held SALGA Quinquennial National Conference, it resolved, amongst others, to encourage municipalities to strictly implement their credit control policies in an effort to manage escalating debt owing to municipalities, particularly in collecting debt from customers who are able to pay but not willing, as opposed to the indigent customers. Further, the key matters on the 2022 Division of Revenue, the National Treasury has proposed changes to the municipal borrowing policy framework, where these changes aim to increase the permissible term to maturity of borrowing, to strengthen the secondary market for municipal debt instruments and better define the role of development finance institutions to avoid their crowding out the private sector. SALGA is collaborating with the DBSA, particularly the Infrastructure Fund, in an effort to facilitate the uptake of long-term borrowing instruments for major capital projects. As I indicated in the previous slide, that there is an accredited capacity building initiative on project preparation and financing, which focuses in building capacity of municipalities to be able to develop bankable projects that could withstand a scrutiny of finance institutions in terms of financing major capital projects, thereby enable municipalities to access these innovative financing instruments for major capital investments. In relation to the changes through to the direct conditional grants, I've alluded through to the major changes there. Now I'll just simply focus and respect what our comments are, particularly to the major ones. In respect of the neighborhood development partnership, it is a welcome, although we note that it is a grant that is a temporary in nature due to its response to the COVID-19 impact on the economy. However, we do note a risk of placing an expectation on municipalities to provide this form of employment for the medium to long-term period, even after the funds are no longer available. You'll note that I think even from the State of the Nation address, the presidential initiative in relation to the employment initiative to deal or address some of the COVID-19 impacts on the economy. In regard to the Municipal Disaster Recovery Grant, SALGA highlights the need to factor in rapid disbursements of this grant through to municipality in case of a disaster. As you note, particularly with these additional allocation which are targeted for the floods that and storms that had occurred in KwaZulu-Natal in 2019-2020, the timing might not have the requisite impact. Would also like to draw that the attention that we need to learn from lessons during the COVID hard lockdown in terms of responsiveness for the disbursements of these grants. And then for the last two, the public transport network grant as well as the integrated urban development grant, SALGA notes the changes as these were necessitated by our members. In terms of our conclusions and the recommendations, Chairperson, SALGA acknowledges the tough economic and fiscal environment that the country finds itself, and that was further exacerbated by the July 21, 2021 unrest, and significantly by the negative impact of the COVID-19 that it had had on the economy. SALGA welcomes the 2022 budget as presented by the Minister of Finance, in that it recognizes that local government cannot be solely responsible for redistribution, and national government has a critical role to play in this regard, particularly with respect to subsidizing the provision of basic services. This is in accordance with the white paper on local government. And as articulated earlier, the 28.9 billion that has been earmarked for equitable share, it is intended to subsidize the provision of basic services through to our communities who are unable to pay to unaffordability as well. The COVID-19 impact on the economy. SALGA supports measures of getting consumers of municipal services, including government departments, to pay for what they consume. SALGA will continue to participate at the Multidisciplinary Revenue Committee, where we engage with stakeholders, particularly ESCOM, Department of Water and Sanitation, the Water Board, National Treasury, Department of Cooperative Governance, in ensuring that measures are put in place to encourage our communities to pay for services consumed. To this end, there is a responsible citizenry campaign that in the MDRC has been developed, and it is being rolled out across provinces. Further, SALGA welcomes the increase in the allocation of local government equitable share by that 28.9 billion over the MTF to cover shortfalls from our services that cannot be recovered through charges to poor households, as well as the additional allocation of 1.8 billion in direct conditional grants. As the resource allocation to local governments are projected to increase over the MTF cycle, SALGA will continue to implement the NEC resolutions relating to accountability and consequence management at municipalities. When we've appeared before at this committee, there had always been also a concern raised that in terms of the audit outcomes of municipalities, adverse audit opinions are always presented by the Auditor General, and what is SALGA doing in ensuring that there is that accountability and consequence management. In previous sessions of this committee, we did allude through to the NEC resolution, particularly of 20 July 2020, as well as 23 July 2021, particularly where the SALGA NEC had adopted measures, particularly to extract accountability and consequence management at municipalities, and would continue to do so, particularly more so in view of the recognition of what SALGA has been raising as a concern in the increasing the allocations to the local sphere to ensure that the funds actually utilized for what they're intended for. SALGA supports the macroeconomic strategy of government, including the fiscal consolidation to cap additional spending and maintain the expenditure ceiling, as well as reducing the budget deficit and the debt to GDP ratio. Our recommendations are that the upward trajectory in local government allocation from nationally raised revenue be maintained in order to realize the aspirations contained on the white paper on local government in respect of subsidizing the provision of basic services. And lastly, the proposed increase in the allocation to over to local government over the next 3 years will note that it will but hope it share of nationally raised revenue. Consequently, organized local government supports the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Councillor De Gale and Mr. Mkotu for the presentation. Now, what we do, I'll be asking the oral members to interact with their presentation, and I'll request you to note the questions as they pose them, right? So that after that, you'll be given an opportunity to respond to the questions, or perhaps even to the comments. Oral members, it's your turn. You know how we do it. Can I get indications of oral members who'd like to interact with the presentation?
Chair, it's Honourable Sarupan, please.
Honourable Shonyano, Honourable Matafa. Any other oral member?
Kaiso.
Honourable Kaiso. Any other oral member? Darren, Honourable Peters, says she has been trying to connect, and she has been told to wait. That's over 7-8 minutes. Can you attend to that? Yes, I've got Honourable Lenzana.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other honourable member would like to come in? Okay. We know how we do it. 5 minutes maximum. If we still have time, we'll come back. Start with Honorable Sarupan. My stopwatch starts.
Thank you very much, Chair, and apologies for the video. My bandwidth, as you are aware, is an issue. Chairperson, let me first thank SALGA for the presentation and coming to this committee. I have several questions. Let me start with the first elephant in the room, and that is around municipal debt to ESCOM. Obviously, the state pays a lot of money to municipalities in terms of the Division of Revenue Act to municipalities to fund their operations and to make sure that they can deliver services to communities. Now, the state also, every financial year for the next 10 years, or 8 years still to go, gives ESCOM about 20 billion rand. We know that municipal debt has now breached their 20 billion rand total. And it is, and I believe it's up to about 35 billion now. I'd like to understand what SALGA is doing to ensure that municipalities honor their ESCOM debts, because it is crowding out space for other things, including municipal infrastructure grants and so on from the national government. And that money could be far better spent helping local service delivery. So I'd like to understand what SAGA is doing to make sure that municipalities do meet their obligations to ESCOM. And I'm not talking about short-term debt of 15 or 30 days. There's long-term systemic debt that goes back years that needs to be dealt with. So that's my first question. My second question, Chair, is with regards to municipalities dealing with unfunded mandates, particularly metros. And we've seen a lot of things being pushed down, particularly by provinces to municipalities, but also from national to municipalities in terms of unfunded mandates. I'd like to understand from SALGA, which are the biggest problems in terms of unfunded mandates that they've identified, and what should national government not be pushing down in terms of unfunded mandates, in their opinion, because I do think that is becoming a bit of a problem. Then, Chair, in respect of the, obviously this year has a much higher allocation to provinces and municipalities than the last financial year, I would like to understand what the impact of last year's lower allocation has been in the view of SALGA to municipalities, and what the consequences have been as well, particularly in local service delivery, and if they've seen a deterioration as a consequence of the previous financial year's reduced allocation. Chair, I think I'll leave it at that. I'm sure the rest of the members have lots of questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sarpen. Honorable Sheikh, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, SALGA, for your presentation. Now, I have a whole host of questions here, but I think my colleagues are going to cover some. The first one is going to be, what is the role of SALGA? And I know you talk about a new executive, but everyone that have come here have said exactly the same thing, how they're going to change things, how they're going to be more effective, how they're going to ensure we get more value for money, how we're going to ensure that proper and decent services are delivered to our people. But believe me, year in and year out, this particular committee has highlighted so many weaknesses in the system, but very little or nothing happens, to such an extent that some of us ask the question, is there any purpose even in having this oversight mechanism if they are not going to yield positive results? So my first question to you is, you must know, and this is not even open for discussion, you must know about the amount of money that is looted from local government level, particularly through the procurement of goods and services. You are aware that it has been highlighted repeatedly, even by the CEO of supply chain. You are aware of people, particularly private sector, that is in collusion with the public sector. And yet SALGA has done nothing, let me repeat, has done nothing in all these years to say, let us try and close these gaps and make sure that, of course, we get value for money, because we're losing about 300 billion rand at least a year in this country. A lot of it is from local government. As I sit here, I can tell you, there will be meetings taking place between the public and private sector at municipal level, who's getting which tender. Based on that, rather than us defending ourselves, my question to you is going to be on this particular issue. Will you be able to influence all local government structures to ensure there is a transparent and credible process of procurement so that the communities in which these municipalities are will be able to provide on a monthly report to its people which contracts were awarded, who are the contractors, what is the value of the contract, and what is the value of each item? There's no reason why anything should be private in this country because this is taxpayers' money. So will you consider that, rather than me having a debate on it, to put some measures of that nature? Number two, now, many people on the ground, I give you a good example, Itegwini is in a shocking condition. When I tell you shocking is an understatement, they don't even have money to pay the security at the moment on the beach, which is supposed to be a tourist attraction. What different are you going to do to ensure that your oversight mechanisms that are going to be put in place is you're going to be in, on the top of it and make sure that these municipalities deliver the proper services to the people? Now, having said that, I want to know what mechanisms you're going to put to work with the people on the ground to be your eyes and ears. What measure of communication are you going to create so that you will get firsthand? You know, people are complaining to different structures and nothing is happening. The same thing is actually deteriorating over a period of time. What is SALGA going to do differently? Must understand this, that particularly the rural municipalities find themselves in a very difficult situation because they don't generate enough income. And of course, there are politicians and leaders go out and tell people don't pay for these services. So that's another problem. What role are you going to play using your influence at an international level to take development to all these local municipalities all over the rural areas and urban areas? Together with your counterparts in these different structures, what would you do to be able to ensure they become self-sufficient? Because they cannot survive on handouts from national government alone. That's the problem. What is your stance on Eskom saying they're going to switch off electricity and things when the municipalities are not able to pay their debt? But very importantly, at the same time, these municipalities do not have the capacity. I personally can tell you that I've tried to get prepaid meters in Durban. You wait for 2 years and 3 years to get a prepaid meter. So people also want to pay. You can't even provide the services. When I say you, I mean the municipalities. How are you going to be able to ensure that, first of all, the municipalities pay their debt? Because remember, at the end of the day, the people on the ground are going to suffer when Eskom, who is threatening to cut off these things, okay? So there is a solution because people are willing. If you put prepaid meters, they're going to pay, but you don't even have the capacity to roll those things out. That's the other problem. Revenue collection appears to be a major problem. In fact, our IT system seems to be under tremendous pressure in every sector of governance. If you talk about home affairs, you talk about SARS, you talk about social development, even revenue at local government elections. I remember when I was in Itchegwini, Chairperson, at that stage, we had already spent 500 or 700 million, Chairperson. And we were nowhere near even 50% of getting it. Up to now, it's a mess. So I would want, what role are you going to play to ensure that they have an efficient revenue collection system? Will you support national government deducting from the allocation to local government funds that are due, owing, and payable to people like Eskom and water boards and things which the municipalities are not actually paying? Let me for now stop the Chairperson, and I'll come back later if necessary.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Sheikh. Honorable Sonyana, it's your turn.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, we welcome the presentation and we thank it, but I will not congratulate the newly elected NEC of SALGA, because I still believe that their formation, it is partisan and it will not benefit our country very much. But looking at the division of revenue to local government, my question to SALGA will be, you spoke about returning public finances into its glory, right? Do you think this could be achieved with the latest fiscal consolidation, which you said you were in support of it in your presentation? Do you think that, and when do you think we can see the fruits of this fiscal consolidation? When do you think we'll begin to see achievements in this fiscal consolidation? The second question, Chairperson, that I would like to ask SALGA will be, they spoke about municipal capacity building. Now, do you think you are doing enough on your capacity building? And how do you measure it? I mean, how do you measure that the training provided by SALGA actually assists the municipalities in their deliverables? I wish they can give us an example on the measuring tools they are using to measure that their training to councillors and officials is actually providing which benefits. My second last question, Chairperson, will be, And I know this was not touched in their presentation, but I would like them to get their insights on Operation Vulindlela. Operation Vulindlela, Chairperson, touches on electricity, water, transport, and digital communication. So I want to know from SAVA if are they in support of Operation Vulindlela? Are they in support of this structural adjustment? And have they looked at the negative impact it will have on the local government, or are they just going with the flow? And lastly, Chairperson, I want to ask SAVA about the rising of unemployment. How do they think we must fight this unemployment rate at a local level? And what do they think must be done to assist the municipality to fight unemployment rate, especially amongst the young people of this country? I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shanyana. Honorable Matafa, please come in.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you, Chairperson, Team SAVA, and honorable members. Chair, I request to put my video off as my connection is very unstable today. Chair, I just have a few points that I would like to make. Maybe let me start first by adding a rider on the point that was made now by Honorable Sonyan in terms of capacity building. Now, in the presentation by SAVA, I have noticed that the focus seems to be more on empowering councillors to be able to play their oversight role. But the reality is that when the oversight role kicks in, it's already after the fact. Work would have been done, especially where you are dealing with cities that are operating under executive mandates. So spending happens, project planning happens, and then after that report to council. Now my question is SAVA satisfied that all the efforts that are aimed at capacitating the administrative staff is enough to ensure that the challenges of underspending, the challenges of passing unfunded mandates, the challenges of maladministration, corruption and fraud will be addressed? Because my view is that immediately when councillors start working on these things, damage would have been done. And I think it's important to look at what is being done to capacitate the administration. The second one, Chair, also touched by Honorable Sheikh, is just to find out if whether has SAVA noticed any distortion to allocations to the local sphere as a result of this unfunded mandate. And what impact does this unfunded mandate have as far as the overarching objectives as presented by the President in the SONA, SOPA, and also the State of the City address has as far as this unfunded mandates are concerned? The third point, Chair, is on the issue of the public transport network grant. And I think they touched on slide 28. We have had municipalities before us trying to explain why they are underperforming. You have municipalities as Bombela, Msunduzi, Polokwane, Ethekwini, and Rustenburg who would have spent money on the grant, but there's nothing to show. The system is not operational. Now, I just want to find out, has SAVA gone into some work to find out how can they assist these municipalities to ensure that this important grant is spent, because it has a capacity of unlocking various economic deficiencies and historical inequalities. Now, is there work that has been done? What is the view of SAVA and how are they planning to approach this particular challenge? The last one, Chair, is on the issue of consultants. There's around 1 billion that is spent on financial reporting. And this work, it's work that is supposed to have been done by internal finance unit. And this actually is the core responsibility of this particular unit. And in our view, this is wasteful expenditure. When you pay consultants to create financials for you, but these financials still do not make the mark. They do not pass the test that is required for them to be declared to be verifiable. Has SALGA tried to look at this important issue to be able to find out what are the root causes? How can they be addressed? Are the measures in place sufficient in order to address other issues that are related to issues of financial reporting? I will pause there, Chair, for now. Thank you so much for the opportunity to participate. And congratulations to the newly elected SALGA leadership. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Matafa. Honorable Kaiso, please come in.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And greetings to the leadership, newly elected leadership of SALGA, PEC. Chair, I just have few questions to SALGA. Firstly, is to understand during the presentation of SALGA, I've just picked up that the slide says that just noting the increase or a decrease on the transport infrastructure grant. I thought SALGA will be very much critical on the issue of underspending on transport infrastructure grants, especially those metropolitan towns that Honorable I thought SALGA will be critical. Because I'll tell you why. I want to come to the issue of ensuring that the economy is operating well, people are able to be productive because there's accessibility of transport, and therefore there has to be an element of sensitivity when it comes to issue of affordability of transport and accessibility. So I don't get SALGA being critical around that issue of underspending, because it plays a very much a crucial role. Now, secondly, I just want to know, Honorable Chair, from SALGA, on the issue of the economic recovery plan. I don't believe that it's only an issue that is just at the national space, where at this level we only talk about economic recovery plan. But I think also SALGA would have an influential role that it can play in as far as economic recovery plan is. So I want to know what is SALGA's position in terms of a role that is there to influence the area of economic recovery plan. I also believe that it comes very close to also what Honorable Imam Ishaq has spoken about in as far as local investment are concerned. So thirdly, on the use of consultants, I think this matter has been coming every time at this level of or this platform. What is the thinking of the SALGA in as far as the use of consultants? Because consultants are people who are being paid, and on top of the staff that is already there, employed by the government, but you also find that now they are also consultants. In other words, there's the issue of salaries, being an element that is consuming the budget, plays a key role. So I just want to know, what is the thinking of SALGA in as far as the continued use of these consultants? And third, lastly, Chair, on we know that SALGA held a national conference, quinquennial national conference, to encourage municipalities to strictly implement their credit control policies in an effort to manage escalating debt owing to municipalities. Has this been implemented? I just want to know whether SALGA has seen any improvement in as far as the implementation of credit control. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Kaiso, thank you. Honorable Lenzana, please come in.
No. Thanks, Chairperson. And good morning, Hoshi, Dikhale, and your team. Chairperson, I will just show face to indicate that I'm not a robot, but after which then I will quickly switch the video off because of the connectivity challenges. Chairperson, let me start by congratulating SALGA for the conference that they held, which was very successful and which led to this outcome, which is in front of us today. We welcome you, comrade. Comrade Sonyane should begin to understand that they shouldn't begin to talk in tongues here. When it fits for them, they would talk politics and political party politics. When it also fits, they would say, let us not be partisan. I don't know. How can you be a politician which is not partisan? But let's leave it there.
Oh, the I'm being
but then, you are welcome. You are welcome, SALGA.
Hey, we are protected, Sonyane. From Sonyane.
Chairperson, I have just three questions. One is on MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Grant. I know that this leadership is incoming. Hence, then, I wouldn't bring in difficult questions, but I know they have been part. What is SALGA doing to ensure that this grant is used efficiently and effectively in the interest of the poor? I'm raising this question because there is a tendency. I know I have been into that sphere. A tendency of taking money which was supposed to have done something, and you take it and you do other things, particularly this question of crossing over votes, particularly from the capital expenditure into the human resource related issues, where you find that money is now more used for the payment of salaries and all. The second one, Chair, is on the self-sufficiency and self-sustainability of our municipalities. The observation here, Chairperson, SALGA incoming NEC, is that there is a growing grant dependence of municipalities. Now, what is it that we can do to ensure that our municipalities are self-sustainable and self-sufficient through collection of their own revenue? Now, thinking outside the box, Chairperson, would be, is there no way that SALGA could introduce some incentive mechanisms to those municipalities which do not only just go get this fund that you are appropriating to them, but are able to generate their own revenue? And then the last question for me, Chairperson, would be, if this comes from the session that we had with municipal workers union last year. Where the person, there was this allegation that put not verbatim, there is an element of SALGA leadership or politicians in municipalities being more egocentric to the extent that they even forget the mandate of the municipality. Case which was raised was, if there are political differences within a particular municipality, that would affect the whole work of the municipality and such that the municipality would be rendered ineffective and unworkable, such that there has to be intervention either by province or national. And even those interventions would at some stage not be informed by what is actually happening on the ground, but they will also be informed by patronage, by corruption, friendship, and all. So how is Zalga going to look into this? I'm mentioning this deliberately because ultimately they affect the working organizational, ethos within the municipality. Thanks, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Lenzana. Honorable Peters, please come in.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. May I be allowed, like Honorable Lenzana, to switch off my video because it is very, I have a very unstable network. I've been in and out of the meeting the whole morning. Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, I want to join the other members by congratulating the new leadership of Zalga, but also at the same time, thanking them for the presentation that they made. And Jefferson, I have a very serious question to ask. I'm saying it's serious because I think it's Honorable Sheikh and Honorable Mlenzana that has raised it. The issue of political instability in municipalities, that Zalga at the political level is unable to deal with, up until we know that councillors represent political parties, but Zalga has got a political responsibility. Zalga is one of the organized formations that has got representation in different platforms. For example, Zalga sits on the PPC, which is chaired by the president. Zalga sits in the budget committee, which is a constituted by different members of the executive and chaired by the Minister of Finance. Zalga sits and represents local government at MCOP. There are min-max where Zalga is participating. And the one that Honorable Mlenzana referred to, the MISA, it's also a structure that Zalga has got an interest in. There are boards, Jefferson, that you would know of, that has got a local government footprint that Zalga is sitting in. So if you look at Zalga, it is an organization that is actually widely represented. So the interest of local government is served everywhere. And yet, we do have on record and in Zalga's own presentation an indication that of the growth of the numbers of municipalities in distress. Now we're sitting at about 175 out of the 257. What is it that Zalga is doing? Honorable Mlenzana and I think Honorable Matafa raised the issue of the capacity building. Is there value for money in this capacity building? Is capacity building just an opportunity for people to be away from their workstations? Or is it intended to produce the requisite results for everybody to benefit? The other thing that I want to ask from Zalga, Honorable Jefferson, is do Zalga support municipalities to get the indigent register? We cannot have a situation where pensioners and poor people are unable to pay for services, and yet there is intervention by national government in terms of resources that is given to municipalities to benefit the most poor so that they have access to water, have access to electricity. So, Jefferson, it is important that Zalga tells us whether we do get value for money from the existence of SALGA. The other thing that I want to find out is also the issue of the consultants. Why is municipalities relying so much on consultants when SALGA is investing so much in capacity building? The other thing is related to the infrastructure grants as well as the PTMG, which goes underspent or is underspending. Why should we have that in our situations? We also have situations where municipalities indicate, like those that were mentioned by Honorable Matafa, indicate the amount of money that they have spent, and yet the value for money, because that grant is actually for transportation of our people, is not being realized. Chairperson, I think I would end here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Peters. Any other oral member, perhaps, who I skipped in the absence of that, can I? Arul Sarupen, do you have something you'd like to add?
Honorable no, Chair, I'm covered. Thank you very much. I'm covered.
Honorable Sheikh. One or two questions you would like to add, Honorable Sheikh?
Yeah.
Let's mute our mics, please, honorable members and everyone who's on the platform. Honorable Sonyana, do you have something?
No, Chairperson, I'm covered.
Thank you. Honorable Matafa?
No, thank you, Chair, I'm fine.
Honorable Kaiso?
I'm covered, Chair.
Honorable Lenzana?
Thanks, Chair. That's just one part, you know, reading while driving sometimes is not very good. That question, Chairperson, which related to patronage and all, I wonder if I added also the effects of the incapacity to spend, because it was also alleged that they end up not spending because of such collusions that they would be fighting against. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Lenzana. Honorable Peters? Okay. Let me come in. I'll also join the honorable members in congratulating the new leadership of SALGA, and looking forward to working with you. You are representing a very important layer of government. So it's very important that we should ensure that that layer of government works, and it works efficiently. So and also welcome the presentation that you have just made. My first question also talks to what a lot of other members have said before me. What are the interventions that SALGA is going to make to ensure better audit outcomes? See, I'll tell you why this is important. Okay? As you noted yourselves, that there's an increase in the allocations of the resources going to local government, and rightly so. But the concern, which is the concern of the committee of parliament and of the people of South Africa, it's a lack of proper accountability of the resources that are given to municipalities. You know the audit outcomes. So what is it that we should do so that when people of South Africa allocate money to this layer of government, they are assured that there'll be one, proper service delivery, and two, proper accountability. Number two, we say that there's always lobbying for more resources. Here I specifically looking at the conditional grants. Other members have raised this one again, but it's very important. The lack of spending of these conditional grants, and in some instances leading to National Treasury withdrawing the money, with dark consequences to our people in terms of service delivery. So I just want to check from your side, what do you think the problem is here, and do we have the solution, and when can we start seeing results? Question number three. We understand that the municipalities who have not registered their indigents, the consequences of that are very obvious, that people are supposed to receive free services are denied those free services. One, what is the problem? And secondly, how do we intend solving that problem? And lastly, can we have time frames that at least just register the registering people? What's the problem? And we are saying all these things knowing that there are municipalities who are responsible for that. But as the oral members have indicated, the umbrella responsibility of SALGA in these things cannot be overemphasized. So this is one of the areas that we have identified. Why are municipalities not collecting money, especially from government, national, provincial, and SOEs? I'll tell you why. When we allocate money here, the budgets which come before us are the budgets which include paying for rates and services. But when these layers of government don't pay, we don't understand. So I want to tell you they have money. So, but why are you not collecting? For instance, if my statistics are correct, we are owed about 20 billion rand by government. Secondly, businesses, you are owed about 54.2 billion rand by businesses. Again, we don't understand why. We pay dividends, they pay bonuses for their executives, but you are owed about 54 billion rand by business. Why is that money not being collected, and what is going to be done differently? Because we would like to be finished with the progress that is being made in this regard. Another question from my side, which is the last question. The president, during the State of the Nation address, identified the need to deal with the red tape, so that we are able to attract investments. So from your side, what would you think are focus areas and the easy picks, so to speak, as far as removing red tape? One, do you understand the word red tapes that we're having at our level? And what do you think our interventions are going to be to make sure that we deal with that red tape? Because it's so important. Capital is very mobile. If you make it difficult for private sector to invest in your city, they go to the next one. In your town, they go to the next town. And if it becomes difficult in the country, then they go to the next country. So capital moves just by the press of a button these days. So the principal question is, do you understand the red tapes that are there? And what do you think your intervention will be? Yeah, that's my last question. Councillor Dikgale and your delegation, can you please respond to the questions which have been raised by the honourable members? Thank you so much, honourable members. You'll bring back the meeting to me once all the questions have been responded to. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I can see we're having a myriad of questions. Others are repeating questions, but mostly they're technical and political questions. What I will do, I will allow Mkosi and Sesu Khomotso to deal with the technical ones, then I will summarize all the political ones and then come back to you. Now I will allow that. You can deal with the technical ones when analysis Komoto, then from there we'll deal with the summary and the political questions. Over to Ntatenga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I would share these with my colleague, Kumucho Lizazi, who is also part of the engagement. Firstly, I think particularly those cross-cutting questions, I know there was one from MP Saiso, where relating to the what can we do to ensure there's improvement on credit policy, control implementation, as well as the chairperson as to why municipalities are not collecting money from government or business, as well as I think it's been cross-cutting even from MP Peters as well. Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, don't repeat our question in the interest of time. Those that are cross-cutting right. will be able to pick them up that you are covering number 1, 2, 3. So please go for them.
Okay, no, thank you. In relation to the collection of debt that is owing through to municipalities, correctly so. You would recall that when the Salga National Conference was actually held, it was in the midst of the disconnections that were being implemented by the city of Tshwane, which even in a two-week period, it managed to collect half a billion, which the Salga leadership actually supported. And that's what we're alluding to as part of things that we'll be focusing on, is to ensure that in terms of where services have been rendered and consumed, municipalities must implement the credit control policies such that those monies that are owed through to municipalities are actually collected. And you've seen Salga supported that, and then as well as other municipalities then began to implement same, resulting that even the city of Johannesburg collecting monies into the hundreds of millions, as well as even in the recent weeks, what has been happening is that in government departments, there have been disconnections, with meaning then that the credit control policies which exist, that for some reason unknown, it was municipalities were not implementing, perhaps out of deference to those businesses or communities which Tshwane indicated that when you do implement your credit control policies, you do realize the money is owing through to the municipalities itself. So that is what is encouraged and would continue being implemented. And there's also been the question relating through to the underspending, particularly on the MIG grants or so. At the technical budget forum that we had on 28 January, as well as the budget forum on 7 February this year, part of the intervention of which Salga supported also in principle related through to the conversion, particularly of Schedule 6. Is it 5B allocations in relation to MIG from direct allocation of the grant for infrastructure spending to MIG 6B, wherein institutions like your minister would then take charge in providing those services in those municipalities, such then that for our communities, those services that are required are rendered through to our communities themselves. Hence, the conversion was then put through, as well as on the DORA, it also includes, particularly where it talks through to the frameworks for the conditional grants, it now incorporates that for MIG, the possibility of it being converted from MIG 5B to 6B, enabling the utilization of capacity where it exists also in the state, in terms of like MISA, to actually bring that to bear such that those services are rendered through to communities. What Salga commented on in this respect was to ensure that the consultation, particularly with those municipalities, and it must happen in earnest, and there must be agreement, particularly in areas where there is lacking capacity, such then that those aspects are actually dealt with. Now, what is SALGA doing to improve audit outcomes? In the presentation, I've alluded just high level to the previous NEC resolutions relating to the intervention relating to MASP, which is the SALGA program on municipal audit support, which it is implemented not only with SALGA on its own, but with other stakeholders that include your national treasury, provincial treasuries, as well as the Department of Cooperative Governance at provincial level. What Awan was emphasizing is that SALGA did recognize the need to extract this accountability and consequence management at municipalities to ensure that there is accountability for resources that have been appropriated to local government, and to ensure that where those funds are not utilized in the manner that they were intended, there is consequences. In fact, to go further, there are law enforcement authorities in the Republic, of which it is has been supported that in instances of wrongdoing, such law enforcement agencies need to take action and ensure that those that are willfully not doing what is required with those public funds, the law actually take its course. And also, in talking through to audit outcomes, these NEC resolutions spanning from 20 June and in June as well, in 2021, also covered the aspect of over-reliance on consultants, particularly where part of that was to ensure that the consultants that who belong to professional bodies, that could be your SAICA and other professional institutions who deliver shady work, which is not up to quality or so, consequences need to be brought to bear on them in line with the professional ethical conduct that they are subject to in terms of the professional body that they belong to, such that in instances where that also has been proven, such funds be returned and ensure that those professional bodies actually take decisive action against those consultants who belong to their professional institutions. In terms of amongst the earlier question, particularly on what is SALGA doing in terms of the municipal debt that is owed through to ESCOM. Yes, Chairperson.
Remember, I requested the video to be on.
Oh yes, I had turned it off so that my connectivity can be enhanced, but I will try and turn it on, Chairperson. Hopefully, I will still continue to being heard in that I'm clear in dealing. Yes, in the presentation I indicated in terms of the establishment of the multidisciplinary revenue committee, which SALGA participates, and your ESCOM, it includes your sector departments of water and sanitation, energy, etc. And SALGA participates there. And part of the measures that have been implemented is the Responsible Citizen campaign. You'll note that the inability for municipalities, some of the contributing factors for the inability to actually pay those electricity that have been consumed by communities. It is when those municipalities are unable to actually collect from the communities who've actually consumed those services. Hence, part of the intervention campaign is the Responsible Citizens campaign, which encourages those communities to pay, thereby enabling municipalities to actually be in a position to remit what is due through to the bulk suppliers of services, that is, be it ESCOM and be it the water boards. The aspect relating to the fiscal consolidation, we supported the fiscal consolidation because, as indicated in the 2022 Division of Revenue Bill, the result of the fiscal consolidation is actually now projected that even a year earlier than anticipated, a budget surplus, that is where revenue exceeds expenditure, excluding interest payments, would be positive by 2023-24, meaning then that it is bearing fruits in such that over time, it would then free up resources for government to be able to direct most of the funds to services that are required by our communities, rather than having to keep on having to borrow more, where the interest payments end up crowding out other services that are required to be paid through to communities. In relation to the training, how to ensure that you get value for money and all of that, I indicated that the training aspect, SALGA has actually even shifted the gear, whereby the focus is now on accredited training interventions, such that these training interventions merely not just attendance, where someone can attend and not merely be focused on to what is required. They would be have accredited. We are working in collaboration with the local government sector in terms of even the ICIP. There is a process whereby the facilitators are supposed to provide the necessary reports, because the way these training interventions are designed, they include specific learning outcomes that are linked to a specific unique standards as required in terms of the aspect of the LGCETA training methodologies. And there have been an aspect about rising unemployment, how is that impacting on communities. We have seen that particularly even if in 2020, which necessitated that a budget review had to be conducted, wherein I think an extent of about 11 billion was channeled through to this year in order to make up because of municipalities. I think a few of the metros that were sampled at the time, their revenue had actually declined by the tune of about 20 billion as a result of unemployment. So the impact of that has got an ability, a risk potential to make sure to make municipalities unable to sustain themselves in terms of financially, as well as to recover costs that are due through to them. And the part, you'll forgive me, Chairperson, I think when I repeat as I'm reading the notes, it reminds me as to what was asked. why there appears to be an increase in the grant dependence. In fact, one of the things that I want to prefix my response is that the white paper local government recognizes the aspect that although for municipalities that have got a substantial or adequate revenue base, they would then be able to fund up to, say, 70% of their own generate 70% of own revenue, thereby be able to expand for the services that are required by communities. But out of the 257 municipalities, there are various other municipalities who are situated in areas which have got inadequate revenue base. Hence, then even the government policy, be it the white paper local government, recognize that national has got an obligation to ensure that nationally raised revenue actually devolves through to those municipalities such that those services get rendered. So the aspect that it is actually increasing the grant dependence, it is not borne by reality, in that the aspirations contained in the white paper of on local government, the 1998 one, hasn't been realized as of now. I think if there's anything I missed out, I would like to hand over to my colleague, Mayor Kumucho Letsatsi, to deal with the aspects that I might have skipped. I thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, continue.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, and the honorable members of the Standing Committee. My name is Kumucho Letsatsi. I'm the Chief Officer for Municipal Finance. I think Neva has actually covered most of the questions, other than probably the economic development related questions. And maybe just allow me, Chair, to touch on the issue around the ESCOM debt as well, and the work that we're basically doing through the multidisciplinary team and the ESCOM technical task team led by the Deputy President, that in that committee, National Treasury has basically been tasked to follow through on government departments that basically owe municipalities. And there's a number of challenges that basically came through, and especially around the property rates and taxes, that would have an impact on the MPRA as an instrument that allows municipalities to basically levy taxes. So those structural issues are basically being resolved there, but the general consumer default, where they are not structural issues, National Treasury, with the help of National Treasury and municipalities, is it through that particular structure and the work that has been undertaken by DBSA, COCTA, SALGA, and National Treasury on revenue management that came out of the IMTT advisory panel on the electricity reticulation distribution. It's happening, but the results are actually very slow in terms of the money that's basically happening. And Public Works does report on the project at the ESCOM technical task team in that particular regard. And then there was an issue that was basically raised around invoking Section 216 as a means of a credit control for National Treasury to hold funds that are basically owed, not only to ESCOM, which is the position that we've basically been pushing as SALGA, that over and above the interventions that are happening around the IGR in resolving the ESCOM issue, we must include other creditors, not just ESCOM and basically water boards. So it's important that we then resolve the 300 billion that's basically owed to municipalities. And a number of resolutions have basically been undertaken, even through the NEC, that basically happened in the last week. And among them is basically leveraging existing pieces of legislation, whether it's a tax law, looking at businesses that are due for refunds, but that actually owe municipalities, that such that local government can basically leverage on that process, including the vehicle licensing legislation, such that no licenses can be issued if there are monies owed for services rendered basically by local government. And those are some of the things that will basically be pushing through the budget forum as well as in parliament. But nothing takes away having a very restrictive credit control measure that's basically been applied consistently. And that's why we're basically pushing our municipalities to do so. On the issue of the the corruption and basically the follow through. Okay, you remember, I think in 2020 to 2021, the NEC actually resolved that the AG basically follows and basically implement the powers vested in them and following through on material irregularities and basically keeping the SALGA NEC up to breath in terms of the progress in that particular regard. And you would have witnessed that there's a number of cases that have been followed up by the SIU in that particular regard. So SALGA does indeed support following through on those aspects. And then on the issues around the use of consultant, that there are certain instances where there would be a need of utilizing consultants, and especially in terms of complex transactions, not your normal financial management processes. And we had denounced as well that the use of consultants, and especially in an event where there is no benefit to the municipality and basically they look for money, and especially for well-capacitated municipalities. So on our end, it's basically not a one-size-fits-all, but the principle that we have been communicating through the NEC as well, to our members and various interviews that we've basically taken on that particular issue. It's managing the wasteful expenditure part of it. And then there's also a document that we're producing through the MFMA coordinators with National Treasury around dealing with the issues around unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and basic wasteful expenditure in assisting municipalities in that particular regard. And the chair would recall that in the previous year, where municipalities have basically been called to account directly in terms of those issues, there's also some difficulties from contractual obligations that municipalities can't necessarily get out of. And those aspects, they get raised until the contract is basically closed. But the other aspect, there are control measures and guidelines in basically dealing with the issue around fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And then on the issues around the grant expenditure and how we're supporting municipalities, I think NEBA has touched on the conversion there, where the legislation in terms of the DORA then does allow the responsible or the dispersing department to actually intervene in terms of 154 as well in supporting those municipalities that are basically struggling. And especially around the MIG, where we've seen amendments to the framework of MIG to allow for asset management and intervention by COPTA through MISA in making sure that service delivery actually reaches the poor. And from a SALGA point of view, because we don't necessarily have an executive authority over our members, but through the IGR engagement that we have with the responsible departments, whether on the financial management side is basically National Treasury, and then the other aspect is basically COPTA on governance as well as service delivery, is that there is a platform that we basically utilize in making sure that the issues that are currently confronting local government are basically addressed. And then on the economic recovery plan, SALGA does participate in a number of structures in the IGR, also led by the president, and among them the City Economic Development Managers Forum that we participate in, and the Commonwealth Local Government Forum Steering Committee that we basically part of, and as well as the DDM coordinating structures that we basically part of, and NETLEC as well, if I haven't mentioned that, in making sure that we mobilize local government in addressing the issues around the infrastructure backlog, looking at possible and alternative ways that infrastructure could be funded in local government, with the appreciation that municipalities in the main are basically struggling to collect revenue. So meaning that obviously the amount of internally generated funds that is geared towards infrastructure will be very limited. So only those municipalities that have got very strong balance sheet, we have seen that they've basically been able to go to debt capital markets to raise funding to basically finance infrastructure. And the rest basically comes from conditional grants from national government. But of course, with the fiscal challenges that we've basically been having and the fiscal consolidation that the national government has basically been undertaking, we have seen some sort of strain in terms of the available purse for overall spheres of government. And then, Chair, you've also asked on the issue around the red tape reduction. SALGA, it is part of the IGR structure on looking at the ease of doing business, red tape reduction, and making sure that local government plays a meaningful role in terms of the economic recovery plan that government is basically putting in place. And there has been work that has basically been undertaken that was built from the survey that was basically undertaken by the World Bank. And amongst the things that we're basically looking at in delivery, that is the quantitative index that we have implemented from the beginning of the previous financial year, that looks at simplifying and streamlining approval processes, the issues around zoning. And the biggest issue, Chair, I think for us, and something that we've basically been focusing on and never did touch on, the capacity building, on assisting municipalities in preparing bankable projects, is crowding in private sector so that we can then ramp up on the infrastructure in local government to address the backlog issues and basically improve service delivery in that particular regard. So we've got a number of partners that we're basically working in that particular regard. And on the international front, basically, it's more the solutions other than the fact that the legislation does not allow local government to basically raise funding internationally. But we do partner with our sister organizations to look at possible solutions that have been implemented elsewhere in the world in resolving the challenges that's basically confronting a local government. And then lastly, Chair, on the free basic services. So what we've basically done, and with the challenges that have basically been coming through the budget forum around municipalities' failure to account how they spend the equitable share fully. And when I say account, in terms of the coverage, that if you look at the numbers that come through the Stats SA in terms of poor households against the coverage rate in local government is basically very low. And there's a number of challenges that we've basically identified. I think the biggest issue is the issue around the growing number around informal settlements, but also second is the issue around the criteria that's basically used by municipalities, where FBS is more consumption-based, meaning that you then have to have an account with the municipality. So in an event that a household does not then have an account with the municipality, they are then unable directly to basically apply or end up in the register if they're basically not a title holder. So we will have to look at other alternative ways and see how the current FBS policy could actually be improved such that is aligned to the number of indigents that basically gets reported from the Stats SA numbers as well. And in terms of just the division around the definition around the poor households vis-a-vis the various different approaches and criteria that basically municipalities basically apply. So there's definitely a need for streamlining in that particular regard. And over and above the data integrity issues around the indigent register itself. So we're definitely focusing on that as a program, and it's an area of focus that the NEC basically resolved on. And I think lastly, even out of the IMTT report that was finalized in 2018 around the inability of municipalities, some of the municipalities from a capacity point of view and from a system point of view in managing their revenue and collecting, is to look at a district model as more of a shared services model around a revenue agency that could actually assist those municipalities that just don't have the system and the capacity to basically do so. So we actually following through on those recommendations that were basically adopted back in 2018. And the issue around the executive authority issue has actually gone into court in terms of finalizing on that particular issue, because electricity is the only credit control measure that municipalities can actually utilize to follow through on other services and property rates and taxes that are basically not paid by consumers. Thank you, Chair. I think I've covered everything that was asked of you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Muzo. Councillor Dehale.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Chair. I think there are one or two political issues that I think one should quickly deal with so that the honorable members are covered completely. The first one is the issue of political differences causing a lot of instability. As a disclaimer, Chair, my video is acting up this morning. I must apologize profusely for its counter-revolutionary behavior here. As Salga, what we did at the beginning of immediately after the elections in on November 1, we took a process of induction. The objective there was that we wanted to create understanding between all the political office bearers. One of the key issues that we brought in order to deal with issues of working together was the issue of bringing an understanding of what a capable leader is and an ethical leader is, so that at the end of the process, all these political office bearers understood that the stability of the municipality and its capacity to do its constitutional obligation was number one, to ensure that there is a good working relationship between themselves, not friendship, but good working relationship. So that's number one. Number two, we ensure that there is consistent understanding of delegated responsibilities to different office bearers, because that creates an understanding of which a person is supposed to work in, and ensuring that there is no overlapping unnecessary that creates unnecessary tension. So we ensured that our office bearers have clearly understood that point. And finally, we also ensured that through our induction, the issue of, in particular, corruption was dealt with seriously, Chair. Because we felt that the issue of corruption was becoming an endemic challenge, what we'll call an existential risk for our sphere of government. So we have come to a decision that constitutionally, all members of SALGA in our committees who are found to have been participating or even engaged in corrupt activities will step aside and ensure that they don't participate in our structures until they are able to deal with their challenges around corruption, nepotism, and other malfeasance. And the issue of unfunded mandate, I must say, it is important that we raise this matter again with the committee, that it is becoming an of government, Chairperson, because local government as it is in serious financial distress. Any unfunded mandate that is brought to local government, it is creating more strain and incapacity financially for local government to perform its duty. So it is important that we raise that, and we are calling for support from your good selves, the Honorable Chair, that this kind of behavior should not be allowed moving forward. And finally, Chair, we don't agree with the issue of national government deducting monies on behalf of ESCOM. There are multidisciplinary committees that includes all stakeholders where these matters are being discussed, like we are doing with the issues of debt that the government is having through provincial treasury, through COCTA, so that at the final analysis, it must not be an adversarial approach. It must be a consensus approach, which will then resolve the challenges between local government and ESCOM. I think, Chair, all in all, that brings us to the conclusion of most of the issues that has been raised. And we want to thank you, Chair, for the time and opportunity to engage with yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Councillor Dikgale. But before I let you go on the last point that you have just made, can you share some examples where local government has been given unfunded mandates, for instance?
Yeah, no, thank you very much. On that matter, I'll use the recent one For example, you know that as part of the intervention for COVID-19, national government has come up with what they call city employment opportunities. And we know that immediately when that program fades away, local government will be expected to continue dealing with the issues of employment in those cities. So that is what we are talking about. There should never be programs that happens periodically and you leave local government to carry the burden, later on. So it is important that that kind of programs, as they happen, check. You have longevity, you have sustainability, and you are able to ensure that in the long run, local government is given that kind of capacity to move forward. So those are the kind of things that we want this committee to note, so that in future it doesn't happen again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Tihale, Mr. Mpoti, and Ms. Homoto. As we are wrapping up, let me make the following observations or points. I think we welcome the training of the councillors and officials, and so I think that's very important. There's induction everywhere and anywhere where you go. But there's one point that I would like to make around training and so on, that especially when it comes to officials, not to the councillors, that it starts by appointing a person with the requisite skills for a particular job. For instance, you can't take somebody who can't debit and credit and make him or her a CFO and expect that you are going to train that person. So I think it's very critical that one is observed. Right, because that's why you find situations where we spend about R1 billion, for instance, to get consultants, because in the first place you have got somebody in that position who can't prepare the income statement, the balance sheet, the cash flow statement, you name them, and then we expect on that person ends up just being a conduit. So I think that's one. If there's one impago we want to give you, is that one. That the starting point is to ensure that the people with the requisite skills are being appointed at those positions. You can't expect somebody who has got no legal training to go and make him a head of legal services. And in that instance, you find that all what he or she becomes a conduit of going to the lawyers, and you find that there is you manage the municipality by consultants. So I'm just trying to underline that part ensuring that people with the requisite skills are appointed in those jobs. We can't rely on training them. There is no way you can train them when they are there. It's too late. When you are in there, you just improve yourselves on those issues, on those areas. Then my other request will be you spoke about your intervention as far as trying to ensure that there is economic recovery, there's the removal of red tapes and so on. It would be, look, that's very important. All these other things that we say want to do, service delivery and so on, if we don't have inclusive economic growth at the end of the day, they are just temporary. The over collection at SARS again, it's just a blip. For us to make sure that our fiscal is sustainable, it's very important that all layers of government should put shoulder to the wheel and ensure that they've got measurable things that they are doing which are going to help help the country in terms of economic recovery and employment creation. So on that one, Councillor Tihale and Ms. Homoto, it would be very interesting. We would like as a committee to be finished with that type of your approach or a document that you have prepared. Not necessarily tomorrow when, but once we have that, to say these are interventions that you are making, that's what is happening, and these are the expected outcomes of your intervention. We'll be requesting a meeting with SALGA sometime down the line, and just to check what progress we are making. And ideally, this should happen before the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill, that is before the midterm budget, so that we are able to keep this communication alive. But I think the interaction has been very worthwhile and very informative and highly appreciated. And I'm sure you also noted the issues which have been raised by the honorable members as pointers of areas that you may want to focus on. So with those words from our side, thank you very much. I think that takes care of your item on our agenda. You may remain in the platform. We've got no secrets, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable members, let's go to the next agenda item. Let's look at the minutes of the 8th of March 2022. They were sent to us, and I hope we've read them. If there is nothing to change, can I have the mover for the adoption of those minutes?
Matafa, I move, Chairperson.
Honorable Matafa moves for the adoption of the minutes. Do I have a seconder?
Marais second.
Honorable Marais second. So the minutes of the 8th of March 2022 are duly adopted. Then let's go to agenda item number 6. Therein, do you have any announcements?
Chairperson, no, nothing from my side. Just a reminder of tomorrow's meeting. We will be having public hearings on the Division of Revenue Bill. We received submissions from amandla.mobi and from the Women's Project. Let me just confirm the name, Chair. Women on Farms Project. Those are the two organizations that will be making submissions tomorrow, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Darren. And again, let me thank our support staff for the support that they are giving to the to the committee, and thank the honorable members for their contribution in this meeting, and the members of the public who are listening, media. Thank you, everybody. This takes us to the end of the meeting. So the meeting is duly adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry.